50%. I was always astounded that so many companies would operate with such a level of uncertainty. Why would anyone want to leave the success of something that costs so much, with so much at stake, to the flip of a coin? I was convinced that if some marketing worked, it was possible to figure out why. All companies of equal resources have equal access to the same agencies, the same talent, and the same media, so why does some marketing work and some doesn't? Working in an ad agency, I'd seen it all the time. With conditions relatively equal, the same team could develop a campaign that would be hugely successful 1 year, then develop something the next year that would do nothing. Instead of focusing on the stuff that didn't work, I chose to focus on the stuff that worked to find out what it all had in common. The good news for me was there was not much to study. How has Apple been able to so consistently outmarket their competition over and over and over? What did Harley-Davidson do so well that they were able to create a following of people so loyal that they would tattoo a corporate logo on their bodies? Why did people love Southwest Airlines so much? They aren't really that special. Are they? In an attempt to codify why these worked, I developed a simple concept I called the Golden Circle. But my little theory sat buried in my computer files. It was a little pet project with no real application, just something I found interesting. It would be months later that I met a woman at an event who took an interest in my perspectives in marketing. Victoria Duffy Hopper grew up in an academic family and also has a lifelong fascination with human behavior. She was the first to tell me about the limbic brain and the neocortex. My curiosity piqued by what she was telling me, I started reading about the biology of the brain, and it was then that I made the real discovery. The biology of human behavior and the golden circle overlapped perfectly. While I was trying to understand why some marketing worked and some didn't, I had tripped over something vastly more profound. I discovered why people do what they do. It was then that I realized what was the real cause of my stress. The problem wasn't that I didn't know what to do or how to do it, the problem was I had forgotten why. I had gone through what I now know is a split, and I needed to rediscover my why. To inspire people to do the things that inspire them, Henry Ford said, "If you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." He was a brilliant why guy who changed the way industry works. A man who embodied all the characteristics of a great leader, who understood the importance of perspective. I wasn't any dumber than I was when I started my business, probably the opposite, in fact. What I had lost was perspective. I knew what I was doing, but I had forgotten why. There is a difference between running with all your heart with your eyes closed and running with your all your heart with your eyes wide open. For 3 years, my heart had pounded but my eyes had been closed. I had passion and energy, but I lacked focus and direction. I needed to remember what inspired my passion. I became obsessed with the concept of why. I was consumed by the idea of it. It was all I talked about. When I looked back to my upbringing, I discovered a remarkable theme. Whether among friends, at school or professionally, I was always the eternal optimist. I was the one who inspired everyone to believe they could do whatever they wanted. This pattern is my why. To inspire. It didn't matter if I was doing it in marketing or consulting. It didn't matter what types of companies I worked with or in which industries I worked. To inspire people to do the things that inspired them, so that, together, we can change the world. That's the path to which my life and my work is now completely devoted. Henry Ford would have been proud of me. After months of thinking I couldn't, now I knew I could. I made myself a guinea pig for the concept. If the reason I hit rock bottom was because my golden circle was out of balance, then I needed to get it back in balance. If it was important to start with why, then I would start with why in everything I did. There is not a single concept in this book that I don't practice. I stand at the mouth of my megaphone and I talk about the why to anyone who will listen. Those early adopters who hear my cause see me as a tool in their arsenal to achieve their own why. And they introduced me to others whom they believed I could inspire. And so the law of diffusion started to do its job. Though the golden circle and the concept of why was working for me, I wanted to show it to others. I had a decision to make: do I try to patent it, protect it and use it to make lots of money, or do I give it away? This decision was to be my first celery test. My why is to inspire people to do the things that inspire them, and if I am to be authentic to that cause, there was only one decision to make: to give it away, to talk about it, to share it. There would never be any secret sauce or special formula for which only I knew the ingredients. The vision is to have every person and every organization know their why and use it to benefit all they do. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm relying entirely on the concept of why and the naturally occurring pattern that is the golden circle to help me get there. The experiment started to work. Prior to starting with why, I had been invited to give one public speech in my life. Now I get between 30 and 40 invitations per year, from all sorts of audiences, all over the world, to speak about the golden circle. I speak to audiences of entrepreneurs, large corporations, non-profits, in politics and government. I've spoken at the Pentagon to the Chief of Staff and the Secretary of the Air Force. Prior to the Golden Circle, I didn't even know anyone in the military. Prior to starting with Why, I had never been on television. In fewer than 2 years I started getting regular invitations to appear on MSNBC. I've worked with members of Congress, having never done any government or political work prior to starting with Why. I am the same person. I know the same things I did before. The only difference is, now I start with Why. Like Gordon Bethune, who turned around Continental with the same people and the same equipment, I was able to turn things around with the things I already knew and did. I'm not better connected than everyone else. I don't have a better work ethic. I don't have an Ivy League education, and my grades in college were average. The funniest part is, I still don't know how to build a business. The only thing that I do that most people don't is I learned how to start with why. If you follow your why, then others will follow you. Bang. The gun fires and the race is on. The runners take off across the field. It rained the day before and the ground is still damp. The temperature is cool. It is a perfect day for running. The line of runners quickly forms a pack. Like a school of fish, they come together as one. They move as one. The pack sets a pace to maximize their energy for the whole race. As with any race, in a short period of time the stronger ones will start to pull ahead and the weaker ones will start to fall behind. But not Ben Komen. Ben was left behind as soon as the starter gun sounded. Ben's not the fastest runner on the team. In fact, he's the slowest. He has never won a single race the entire time he's been on the Hanna High School cross-country track team. Ben, you see, has cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy, a condition often caused by complications at birth, affects someone's movement and balance. The physical problems endure for a lifetime. Misshapen spines create a twisted posture. Muscles are often withered and motor reflexes slow. Tightness in the muscles and joints also affect balance. Those with CP often have an unsteady gait, their knees knock and their feet drag. To an outsider, they may seem clumsy. Or even broken. The pack pulls farther and farther ahead while Ben falls farther and farther behind. He slips on the wet grass and falls forward into the soft earth. He slowly picks himself up and keeps going. Down he goes again. This time it hurts. He gets back up and keeps running. Ben won't quit. The pack is now out of sight and Ben is running alone. It is quiet. He can hear his own labored breathing. He feels lonely. He trips over his own feet again, and down he goes yet another time. No matter his mental strength, there is no hiding the pain and frustration on his face. He grimaces as he uses all his energy to pull himself back to his feet to continue running. For Ben, this is part of the routine. Everyone else finishes the race in about 25 minutes. It usually takes Ben more than 45 minutes. When Ben eventually crosses the finish line, he is in pain and he is exhausted. It took every ounce of strength he had to make it. His body is bruised and bloodied. He is covered in mud. Ben inspires us, indeed. But this is not a story of when the going gets tough, the tough get going. This is not a story of when you fall down, pick yourself up. Those are great lessons to learn, without a doubt, but we don't need Ben Coleman to teach us those lessons. There are dozens of others we can look to for that, like an Olympic athlete, for example, who suffered an injury just months before the games only to come back to win a medal. Ben's lesson is deeper. Something amazing happens after about 25 minutes. When everybody else is done with their race, everyone comes back to run with Ben. Ben is the only runner who, when he falls, someone else will help pick him up. Ben is the only runner who, when he finishes, has 100 people running behind him. What Ben teaches us is special. When you compete against everyone else, no one wants to help you. But when you compete against yourself, everyone wants to help you. Olympic athletes don't help each other. They're competitors. Ben starts every race with a very clear sense of why he's running. He's not there to beat anyone but himself. Ben never loses sight of that. His sense of why he's running gives him the strength to keep going. To keep pushing. To keep getting up. To keep going. And to do it again and again and again. And every day he runs, the only time Ben sets out to beat is his own. Now think about how we do business. We're always competing against someone else. We're always trying to be better than someone else. Better quality. More features. Better service. More features. We're always comparing ourselves to others. And no one wants to help us. What if we showed up to work every day simply to be better than ourselves? What if the goal was to do better work this week than we did the week before? To make this month better than last month? For no other reason than because we want to leave the organization in a better state than we found it? All organizations start with why, but only the great ones keep their why clear year after year. Those who forget why they were founded show up to the race every day to outdo someone else instead of to outdo themselves. The pursuit, for those who lose sight of why they are running the race, is for the medal or to beat someone else. What if the next time when someone asks, "Who's your competition?" we replied, "No idea." What if the next time someone pushes, "Well, what makes you better than your competition?" we replied, "We're not better than them in all cases." And what if the next time someone asks, "Well, why should I do business with you then?" we answer with confidence, "Because the work we're doing now is better than the work we were doing 6 months ago. And the work we'll be doing 6 months from now will be better than the work we're doing today. Because we wake up every day with a sense of why we come to work. We come to work to inspire people to do the things that inspire them. Are we better than our competition? If you believe what we believe and you believe that the things we do can help you, then we're better. If you don't believe what we believe and you don't believe the things we can do will help you, then we're not better. Our goal is to find customers who believe what we believe and work together so that we can all succeed. We're looking for people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in pursuit of the same goal. We're not interested in sitting across a table from each other in pursuit of a sweeter deal. And here are the things we're doing to advance our cause. And then the details of how and what you do follow. But this time, it started with why. Imagine if every organization started with why. Decisions would be simpler. Loyalties would be greater. Trust would be a common currency. If our leaders were diligent about starting with why, optimism would reign and innovation would thrive. As this book illustrates, there is precedence for this standard. No matter the size of the organization, no matter the industry, no matter the product or the service, if we all take some responsibility to start with why and inspire others to do the same, then, together, we can change the world. And that's pretty inspiring. If this book inspired you, please pass it on to someone you want to inspire. There is nothing that brings me more joy and happiness in this world than waking up every day with a clear sense of why, to inspire people to do the things that inspire them. It is a simple thing to do when surrounded by so many amazing people to inspire me. There are countless people who believed in me and helped me over the years. I'd like to thank those who helped me build a piece of my megaphone with this book. Amy Hertz was the first to insist that I write it and introduced me to my incredible agent, Richard Byrne. Richard believes in doing good things in the world and has made it his business to make authors out of those who have a positive message to share. His patience and counsel have been invaluable. To Russ Edelman, who was such a nice guy to introduce me to his editor, Jeffrey Krames, who, in turn, took a bet on me and let me push him to do things differently. To Adrian Zakheim, who willingly challenges convention and is leading the evolution of the publishing industry. Thank you to Mark Rubin, who sees the colors I can see and in whose basement I started writing, to Tom and Alicia Ripmer, in whose home I continued writing, and to Delta Airlines, for being so good to me while I wrote so much at 35,000 feet. To Julia Hurley, who made sure everything was right. To the whole team at Portfolio, who worked so hard to bring this book to life. And, most acknowledgements importantly, to Laurie Flynn, who so passionately devoted herself, and her family, to help me tell this story. I have had the great honor and privilege of meeting some wonderful people who have inspired me in a way that is hard to quantify. Ron Bruder has changed the way I see the world. Rick. General Laurie Robinson has shown me what the humility of great leadership looks like. Kim Harrison, who lives her why, to appreciate all good things around her, and works tirelessly to see to it that good ideas and people are appreciated. She taught me what a true partnership looks and feels like. And to those who've shared what they know to help bring the why to life, I am truly grateful for your time and energy, Colleen Barrett, Gordon Bethune, Ben Coleman, Randy Fowler, Christina Harbridge, Dwayne Onasix, Howard Jerushimovitz, Guy Kawasaki, Howard Putnam, James Tobin, Acacia Salati, Jeff Sumter, Col. Cruz, Will Spark and Steve Wozniak. Long before there was even an idea of a book, there were all the people and early adopters who wanted to learn about the why and use the Golden Circle to help build their organizations. This forward-thinking group were willing to embrace a new idea and were essential to helping me figure out many of the details and nuances of the concept. Thank you to Jeffrey Jikorski, Jen Podmore, Paul Guy, Cal Shah, Victor De Oliveira, Ben Rossner, Christopher Bates, Victor Chan, Kent Abarchnik, Richard Baltimore, Rick Zimmerman, Russ Natos, Missy Shorey, Morris Stemp, Gabe Solomon, Eddie Esses and Elizabeth Hare, who saw the value of the why in building the most valuable organization of all, her family. Thank you to Fran Biederman Gross, who is not only an early adopter, but who went out of her way to embrace her why in all aspects of her life and to encourage others to learn their why, too. Thank you to Congresswoman Stephanie Herseth Sandlin, Congressman Paul Hodes, and Congresswoman Alison Schwartz, who gave me so much and continue to give back to others with such passion. Over the years there were those who gave me a break and helped advance my cause. I am immensely grateful to all the brilliant people and candid conversations that inspired so many of the ideas that became the Golden Circle and all its parts. Thank you to Kendra Coppy, who helped me out of the hole in late 2005 and to Mark Levy, who pointed me in the right direction. Thanks to Peter Wybrow, who saw a problem in America and helped me to understand the neuroscience of it all. Kurt Gunn, whose brilliant storytelling mind inspired The Split. Every conversation with Brian Collins illuminated something new.
Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We'll be really thankful if you support us by clicking the link in the description so that we continue to create amazing content for you.